Today's episode of the Outlap F1 Podcast is brought to you by Stamps.com. Since 1998, Stamps.com has been an indispensable tool for nearly 1 million businesses. Stamps.com brings the services of the U.S. Postal Service and UPS shipping right to your computer. Whether you're in office sending invoices, a side hustle Etsy business, or a full-blown warehouse shipping out orders, Stamps.com will make your life easier. All you need is a computer and a standard printer. No special supplies or equipment, and within minutes, you're up and running, printing official postage for any letter, any package, anywhere you want to send it. Save time and money with Stamps.com. There's no risk, and with our promo code POD, P-O-D, you get a special offer that includes a four-week trial, plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in POD, P-O-D. And now, off to the episode.
This is the Outlap F1 Podcast, featuring America's own John, James, Andy, and Deanna. Your one-stop shop for Formula One news, insights, race previews, and reviews. Join us on the Outlap.
Rounds in, and there is absolutely nothing to separate Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton. We are into the title decider, and you've made a good choice because you're on with the Outlap F1 Podcast. It's our season 3, episode 56. It's the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix race preview. It's also the title decider, baby. You've got Andy. We have podcasts at full strength tonight. We have Andy, James, John, and Deanna. Are we ready for this thing?
Andy, I'm a little disappointed. You didn't crown me as the 2021 World Prediction Champion, John.
That's later.
You know, sir, and I don't think it's technically sealed yet.
Mathematically, although it is. We have a chance.
James, it is sealed because I'm not giving predictions, so I don't price is right all of you, which I would just do and get points. So,
well, that's your own fault. So if we beat you, then it's what it is.
Yeah, you can still give predictions, John. We just wanted to make sure none of us could see each other.
Nah, no fun in that. I'll take my – James officially crowned me champion earlier. It's the smartest thing that's ever come out of his mouth. So I'm going to take it and run with it. But unlike – or like Lewis Hamilton, you call him sir, I'd like to be called as world champion for the rest of the season. So thanks. Appreciate it, Andy.
Absolutely.
Good luck with that.
I might get a banner back here, perhaps, something like that. I don't know.
If you want to print it and pay for it,
maybe an ice ring.
I've been watching the league recently, so we should get a trophy. Mm.
I was actually thinking about that, but I was like, I don't want to buy my own trophy, but I might just do that and then ship it next year to wherever it may belong. So,
I think you should.
Anyways.
Well, as always, you can find our show on Twitter, Instagram, Discord, Reddit, and YouTube at F1 Podcast. If you are watching this on YouTube, please do us a solid and click the like and subscribe button. You can email our show, as always, at chatnow@outlapf1.com. You can check out our wonderful website, www.outlapf1.com. If this is the first race you're going to be watching, boy, have you picked a good one. My gosh. You know, go buy a lottery ticket because you've lucked into something really special. But if this is your first race, please do check out our F1 for Beginners Season 3, Episode 6. If you're planning on going to a race next year, please do check out our COTA Experience and Global Motorsports Survey. That is Season 3, Episode 47. The Relap channel with Deanna. She just crossed 10,000 subscribers. Congratulations to Deanna for that. Her Saudi Arabia review is up. And as she would say, it's a great time. So go check that out. Final reminder, Outlap F1 Nation, if there you go.
Just a little slow.
And we're also clapping for the Outlap F1 Nation as well. We still do want to have the sign in Zandvoort with hopefully Fernando Alonso running over all of your names. Please do check out our link in the show notes. Anything you would like to give, it goes back into the show. John's got sound effects going on his board. I've got some stuff going on my board. So it all helps to make the show better. We hope it has, and we hope everyone has enjoyed the improvements that we've tried to make throughout the year. As a final reminder, as Christmas is fast approaching, and if you haven't gotten going on your Christmas shopping, you probably should. Please do check out. We are still proud to partner with the good folks at Manscaped. Please do check out our code and get 20% off on free shipping with their products with the code OUTLAP. That is OUTLAP. As always, we are proud to bring that to you. All right. So before we hop into this final title deciding weekend, there's a little bit of news. One of these affects one of the title contending teams anyway, Mercedes and the Kingspan organization. They came under fire for this a bit last week. They've agreed to end their F1 sponsorship deal with immediate effect. Probably just trying to get out while the getting's good. Yeah, just kind of ugly timing, and I don't really know all that much about Kingspan, but I know it was something related to the Grenfell fire or something like that. So none of it was very good. You don't want to be promoting a company that's probably in court trying to defend itself from some malfeasance there. So any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think they received a letter from some organization around the survivors from that, or the families for the victims of that fire. And they kind of addressed Toto Wolff and said, here are all these problems. Here's their act or role in that situation. And I think it looks like Mercedes actually took that to heart and ended that sponsorship.
All right. Yeah, pretty much. Really, nothing else really to say. I mean, I guess, you know, yep. You know, you come under fire, you've got British MPs lighting you up on Twitter. It's probably a good thing to get out and get out now. Yep. So probably the right decision was made. Next story, McLaren will be running a special Vuz rainbow livery for the Abu Dhabi GP. It looks to me like something out of 70s. Even that was before my time. But just it definitely barely. Does remind me of the carpeting, at least at my grandmother's house or something like that. It's a little trippy. What you guys think?
I like it. I think it's kind of funky. It's fun. A little different, but not like so far out there.
Yeah, I think it's pretty trippy, pretty funky, pretty cool. I wish more cars did special liveries from time to time. The Golf one still way better, but this one's pretty cool. It's going to look real good in fourth place in the Constructors' Championship.
Not much all the American about that fans at this always point. Called for the the Darlington, like a throwback livery applied to F1. I think it'd be cool as hell to maybe at Monaco or something like that.
Just, yeah.
A vintage race. But I think it should be a requirement. I don't know. Well, Haas could bring out some rich energy or something like that. But I think, I mean, it'll probably never happen.
I don't think they want to give that guy cool an ounce more publicity ever after what he did to them.
Andy's going to send me threats later for even mentioning that name. But
just do an old NASCAR livery for Haas.
Yeah, I was going to say, just put it. That's a great idea. Put the one that's actually won things on it.
Yeah. We could do that. Yeah, I think that should be a requirement, at least one F1 race is to go vintage. So even if the sponsors aren't there, at least the paint schemes just to remind us of the great times that were. So, yeah, I think it's cool. I hope there's like a sparkle to the rainbow trippy effect because I think that would be badass under the lights. But, yeah, I think it's cool.
All right, very good. Yeah, I mean, I'm like I said, other than being trippy, I mean, I do enjoy special one-off liveries. And it looks like it incorporated kind of well with their current scheme, so it doesn't scream one thing or another, but yeah, I'm in favor of it.
Leave it to the old band to hate change. Those hippies.
Speaking of old men, the potential last episode, we were all talking about the FIA and all the stuff that came out of that race. The now retiring John Todt is rumored to possibly be headed back into the Ferrari family, potentially being a role as an advisor under Mattia Bonato. The last time Ferrari won a Constructors' World Championship, John Todt was the team principal. So that is interesting. James is the resident Ferrari expert. Do you think there is something special left in the mind of John Todt that he can contribute to the Scuderia?
Well, I don't think it can get much worse than what we currently have. But bringing all this article up and the rumors, I did learn something about John Todt that I didn't know before. His son, Nicholas, is actually Charles Leclerc's manager. So that could be interesting. I think definitely Charles Leclerc has no chance to retain a seat over Mick Schumacher if that were to go down. So,
I feel like that's a conflict of interest.
that nepotism will be awesome for Ferrari there. But no, I mean, it should be good. I can't believe he'd want to come be in the same organization as Mattia Bonato. But maybe he can teach him a thing or two.
Yeah, I got nothing on this one. I mean, it's, I guess if you're just old and bored, then like, why not? I mean, I know that he wants to be like a Niki Lauda type situation and be that advisor, and maybe that'll be a good thing. But yeah, I mean, I guess Bonato's got to listen to him, so that's the other issue. So, I don't know.
We'll see. I mean, you know, you never know. I mean, obviously, the you're right. The model to follow would be like the Niki Lauda type of connection. Whether or not John Tott can do that, I don't know. He's never done it before. He's always been in the boss role, at least that I've known him. So we shall see.
I mean, how old is John Tott now?
He's in his late 70s or early 80s or something like that.
I would guess 70s, but good question.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Just you never curious,
know.
But
it yeah. could convince certain people to, you know, change their minds about Ferrari moving on in the short-term future.
John Tott is 75 years old.
There we go.
Right in the middle.
Thank you, DNN and Google. And or Wikipedia.
I'm still convinced John doesn't Wikipedia. Know how to work Google, but that's for a different episode. Yeah.
I can't spell it. I don't know. You get on the page and it's too much. I just ask you guys questions. One of you will know the answer.
So that's pretty much it for news. There really wasn't much, obviously, with all of the melodrama and everything from the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. It's now all shifted to the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. So just to let everyone know what the title clinching scenario is, it's basically really simple. Lewis needs to outscore Max to win the championship. Any sort of a tie and any sort of permutation would give Max the title on countback because currently he has more wins. If Lewis wins, they would tie that, but at that point it doesn't matter because Lewis would be outscoring Max. So Lewis needs to get one more point than Max. If they both do not score, Max will win the title on count back. All right. So we
There's
did have
some twisted people online that are talking about Lewis finishing in P9, Max P10, and a fastest lap. You sickos. It's just wrong.
Still Max win.
Each one coming into the pits, putting on different soft tires, just trying to do it. Of course, you know,
I thought my imagination for Lance Stroll fastest lap was wild, but you guys are something else out there. So
I still think that's more realistic than a Lance Stroll fastest lap because, as we figured out before the show, Lance Stroll has never had a fastest lap ever.
It's 2021, Deanna. I mean, literally, this is the year of anything is possible.
It's a year of weird, but. Well,
that's still a stretch.
I mean, Mazepin won driver of the day. I mean, who would have thought that would ever happen, right? So anything's possible.
You going to make me play your sound again, John?
I'm still getting hate on the on YouTube comments for that one, but I promise there's no alcohol in the bubbly. I was sober when I made the predictions and had a good time doing it. And I'm not ashamed of it. It's fine.
So I just thought of this question now. I should have thought of it in the pre-show. But so the first tiebreaker is most wins, but do you know what the second tiebreaker is?
It goes back to P2s.
Yeah, and then P3s, P4s.
And
that's
then
P3s crazy.
And all the way back until they eventually get – that's why it's called count back. Eventually you're going to find a position where somebody –
there's so many phrases. Wait. There's so many phrases in my life I hear all the time, but I don't understand them until Andy explains them to me.
Well, I at least had that beforehand. Let me just point that one out.
Look at Deanna talking shit over there about our bottom of the hour. Come on now.
I was right there with her on bottom of the hour.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm a little bit ahead of James on this one.
I mean, that doesn't take much.
I have like, count back.
Don't get too excited.
I take the wins where I can get them.
I haven't done the math. I figured one of you guys know who would be P2 the most.
There's no situation without
it. I was
going to
say, it does
matter.
Not matter, because if Lewis wins, they would tie P1, but Lewis then has won the race and has therefore outscored Max, so therefore it's over.
See, you guys are so smart. Again, why do I have to Google? I can just ask you guys, so.
Okay.
I typically don't ask James much, but Andy Indiana, they typically know what's going on. So. Sorry,
thanks,
James,
I guess.
For a good laugh.
All right. So before we hop into our proper preview, we did have a number of listener questions, and thank you everybody for sending those in. First one, John, why don't you kick us off with first couple questions, and then we'll get into it.
Yeah, so this is actually from last week's. So apologies to Josh. We recorded at about 1:30-ish a.m. Eastern.
It was the dawn's early light. That's all I know.
Yeah, it was a late night, and I apologize for missing this one. But this was from Saudi Arabia. It says, first of all, Massey isn't fit to be race director with a comical showing like that. I mean, no disrespect, but that's the kind of level we expect from Formula E, as it's still a relatively new sport. Also, do you believe that Max wasn't as aggressive into turn one on the first restart, that Bottas would have gone straight into the back of him? P.S. Congratulations on Sainz officially becoming the driver with the most points not to win an F1 race. Thoughts on the matter? So I know we've talked about a bit in regards to the question about Bottas, perhaps.
For the Max Bottas one, I think Max got lucky twice, because the very first, like as the race started, Perez had a lockup and was very close to Max. And then again, Bottas got very close to taking Max out as well. So he kind of had two lucky breaks with some lockups from other people. So yeah, I think there's definitely a little bit of luck there. As for the Massey situation, and especially kind of looking at it over the week and everybody saying like Max super aggressive and all that stuff, but again, he's been allowed to get away with it. And I think the driving standards and everything like that this season, I blame that all kind of, or not all, but primarily on the FIA and the way they've chose to go about this, versus the actual drivers themselves. I don't know if that's the actual question here, but just kind of looking at the situation more over the week, that's definitely how I feel across the season.
We'll go into the next one, and then maybe a follow-up question on that. So Zachariah has a similar type question as well. It says, hey, I'm new to the sport, really enjoying the season as well as this podcast. So appreciate that, Zachariah. He said, is there a reason why a few people came out after the race and blamed Michael Massey and the FIA for what happened to Max and Lewis this past weekend? I don't think it was both drivers' fault. It seemed like he told Red Bull to let Lewis pass, but did not tell Mercedes until after they hit each other. When confronted, Michael was like, quote, I can only press so many buttons, which felt very silly. Am I missing something? So I do know that both teams were instructed about what was going on before they made contact. However, in the translation from whoever Mercedes received it to the race engineer to Lewis, unfortunately, that conversation happened literally about a second or so after they made the collision. It was terrible timing. But yeah, I mean, thoughts on the other matters we talked about kind of last week on the review, like why can't we do a Formula E style or WEC style, press one button, all drivers that need to hear something hear it at the same time, all teams hear something at the same time. That seems like it would solve a lot of problems, because Michael Massey apparently can't push two buttons at once. So what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, that seems like a very rational, reasoned solution to me. I mean, that's how I would do it. Or you do it like IndyCar style, where it's just an announcement. There's no voice that just says, this is race control and this is what's going to happen. Car 33 and car 44 invert positions, you know, within two laps. Otherwise, penalties apply. You just make it clear as day, and you don't leave any room for interpretation when you start to. And again, it's also, you can still do your negotiating, but the way you frame that discussion was completely wrong. When you make it sound like you're literally trying to do horse trading, you know, in real time, people are going to take advantage of that. So if you just said, hey, look, this is how we see it, this is how this is going to go, unless you guys really want to put up a stink and then you can go to the room and you don't know what's coming out of that room, you know, I think then that you're more apt to just say, okay, we'll go with it and back off, which is what I think he wanted to have happen.
There was some listening to different conversations and different media sources this week. There was a few that said that they felt like Michael Massey was cool, calm, and collected during the race in Saudi Arabia.
I'm not
sure if they watched the same race that I did. I'm not sure if they watched the same race I did. I felt like
he seems like he's terrible under pressure and just like can't think quickly on his feet, and it gets him in a lot of trouble and just makes him look probably even worse than he actually is. But just his reactions to things are just,
I mean, there's a number of like psychological personality tests. And one of the differentiators is how you are, you know, in a normal environment, and then there's how you are under pressure. His graph about the under pressure has to be all over the place. It's just he does not seem to act well. And then when he can sit down and be calm, and I think that's also why they're taking days to make rulings now, because he doesn't want to do it under pressure. He wants to sit down and be calm and go through frame by frame by frame and micro, you know, second by microsecond. But that's where how you get to where we are.
Yeah.
I've said this.
My personal take is I feel like he's kind of a people pleaser. Like, he just wants everybody to like him and just kind of
the
like
trait have of a good every relationship great leader
with everybody. it does not work in this situation. Especially when we're looking at split second decisions, because the drivers are making these decisions in split seconds. And so if you can't have leadership at the top that can do that as well, it makes the whole situation very frustrating. And then just to see, I mean, he's definitely been kind of done dirty here by a lot of the FIA radio messages, but I think it kind of opens up a window, at least for the fans, to see like how things could possibly be improved or how things kind of happen behind the scenes, why all this stuff takes so long. So I guess in a way that's good to see, but it does open up a lot of questions to be asked.
Well, I think the two characteristics you two just described are like probably the top two traits you don't want to have in a person in his position. So it's like just not a good job for him to be in.
He's probably a great associate director, or, you know, like if I'm thinking the NFL, he'd be a great black hat referee. He's a terrible white hat referee.
You lost Deanna there, but
okay.
I'm trying. At least this is relatively still
gotta,
new.
If
in
you're
the
gonna
NFL.
Use sports analogy, you gotta translate it to basketball, Andy. That's the only way that you're gonna get that connection there.
The great assistant coach, but he's no Coach K. Let's put it that way.
Yes. Oh, very nice.
He's like a John Shire, some would say.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. You take offense to that.
Yeah,
I once sat John Shire at a restaurant. Lovely guy, though, I will have to say.
Yeah, I've often said that, like, if there should be very, very few instances where a decision has to be made after a race. I feel like if you've got to go and have a conversation to hear, okay, well, what's your feelings on this? And what did you feel about this? Tell me how you're thinking. If you have to have that conversation, then you've already lost the battle, because with as much data and everything else that we have, at least, you know, that the FIA has nowadays, it should be very easy to have a team that, you know, supports the stewards and can provide that data in a very, very quick manner, regardless of the situation, and, you know, let them make a decision, you know, within a few minutes time. So,
And this is one of my things. I mean, I think the FIA in general, it just needs a giant rule overhaul. But one of the things I would love to see in place is a time limit. Like, you get, here's this penalty, we're investigating this situation, you have X amount of time to figure that out. So we're not spending weeks and, or not weeks, but like hours reviewing this stuff. And there's so much telemetry that they should have almost automatically, especially kind of this weekend, like Max is like
his breaking data is obvious.
Yeah. Like that should be you should have that now. I think that should, like, that's very pertinent information to have. So why the FIA don't have that next to like almost automatically, it makes no sense to me.
Yeah, braking data, acceleration data, steering input. It should, I mean, if my road car can deliver all that data, then I'm sure the FIA can as well. So, all right, so good chatter there. Moving on, Josh Jackson says, will the changes in the track, which we haven't talked about yet, but there are some substantial changes to Abu Dhabi, and having the softest compounds help Mercedes, Red Bull, or offset? He says, tempted to feel track benefits Mercedes, but tires benefit Red Bull. And then also, do Bottas and Perez help out the number one drivers to win? Bottas seems more primed to do so given his form as of late. So, Deanna, thoughts on the track and who might benefit?
So my initial thoughts are it's probably going to be even more so now towards Mercedes, especially just because you're taking out a lot of those lower speed corners where you'd think that normally be a benefit to Red Bull. And then over the course of the season, I mean, maybe something happens dramatically out of this weekend, but over the course of the season, Bottas has definitely been the better second driver of the two. So, I mean, we'll see when we get to our predictions. But I think kind of on the back of that, you should probably be a little bit more confident in Mercedes going into this weekend.
Yeah, I think like I thought last week, if reliability isn't an issue and God forbid collisions are not an issue, then I would think that it would be more favor for Mercedes. It seems like we've taken away some of the heavy braking zones on this track. And I feel like throughout the year, Max especially has been more, the car has been more comfortable during those heavy brakings, more stable. He's able to brake later in instances. So if you take away that, you know, those parts of the track, I would still think it would lean now back towards Lewis, given the horsepower and given that, you know, we don't have those insane braking zones or as many so far. So I don't know, you guys, Andy, James?
I mean, given the new or upgraded or the latest spec of Mercedes engine, which has definitely proven to be significant over the course of these last few races, when it's been in the car even, I think the long straights, the reprofile, the fact that you said, you know, less heavy braking, less slow speed corners, I think you're just building a more of a case to have this be more of a Mercedes track. Now, there's still Sector 3. I think you're going to see kind of what you saw a little bit in Saudi Arabia, but not as much. You're going to see Mercedes dominate, I think, those first two sectors, and then Red Bull come back in Sector 3. The question is going to be, if Red Bull can get close enough in that second sector, can they put a move where they have the advantage in Sector 3 with the new reprofiling? I think that's going to be the fascinating question that we get into over the course of the weekend. In terms of the number two drivers, I think you're going to find your answer for that on Saturday. If Perez is not within the top five, and that's basically where he's got to be. If he's anywhere outside of that, it's going to be 2-on-1, more than likely Mercedes versus Max in that case. Minimum, Perez has got to qualify P5 to at least play that game at least a little bit.
Yeah, good point. James, any thoughts?
Yeah, are you buying it all? Like some people have thrown out the thought of Mercedes giving Lewis another power unit, taking five place grid drop to really crank that thing up one last time. Are you buying that at all, John?
That one scares me.
Hell of a gambit.
Yeah, that as a fan, that one scares me because, you know, well, one, as we've seen, restarts, things like that. You know, the P5 range can be rather chaotic, and the last thing you want to do is get collected by someone who has literally no, you know, even connection to this championship. So that would scare me a little bit. The other thing is, if you're Max, you know, or if you're Lewis, I'm trying to be careful how I word this so I don't get too much hate, but I think the last thing that Lewis Hamilton wants to do on Sunday is try to pass Max Verstappen for obvious reasons. So I think if you're...
You can use the words of Nico Rosberg if you want, John. It's totally appropriate here.
Yeah, it is. It's one of the few times I think we agree on some things. But I think that, if you're Mercedes, I think the game plan is you've got to get Lewis out front. And then, I don't think Max is going to pass Lewis. There's a possibility that Lewis would try to pass Max, you know, I think given their pace and the way those cars sit up and how they follow and things like that. And if you're Lewis, I think the absolute last thing you ever want to see on Sunday is Max Verstappen in front of you for any reason whatsoever. So while I think pace-wise it could work out, I think the gamble and the aggressiveness that it would require to get, you know, to do that without contact, which would obviously be detrimental to the championship, I think that would be the last thing they'd want to do. But Mercedes have done a lot of dumb things this year, so it's a strong possibility, James. We may have a big fat analysis paralysis on Sunday night.
The only thing that would be is like if they put it on some sort of a tester and there's getting some weird data or something like that, you know, really shows itself early, you know, in the scrutineering on Thursday or something, you know, hey, we got a water leak and we got a problem here. We got to, you know, if there's any reliability, anything, that's when you might see it and you might just say, okay, five places, we deal with
it. Well, and the other thing is, I mean, Lewis has two relatively new engines. So he's got Spicy engine and then what was it, the one he used at Qatar?
Yeah.
Or I'm blanking on
Mexico.
Mexico, sorry. Yep. So and that one obviously had more miles on it, but it wasn't, you know, certainly wasn't pushing the limit, but in as far as mileage goes. So there's always that. If you have something wrong with the spicy engine, you could always go back to that, and it's already been introduced. You wouldn't get to take a grid place penalty. And then, you know, perhaps you could do some tuning or some engine mode, you know, adjustments prior to Park Fermé and get spicy with that as well. So, but yeah, I mean, like I said, Mercedes did a lot of dumb things that I don't agree with this year. So I've got a relatively long list of head scratching moments throughout the season. So yeah, anything's possible, James. and then lastly, Fast Eddie 55 says, Kimmy, and I believe he's from Miami, so this will make even more sense why he's so excited about this. First off, he says, Kimmy, driver of the day, or we riot. I agree. If I know me personally, I think I will be voting for Kimmy. I think he's well-deserved of a driver of the day.
And it will be the most nonchalant thank you ever.
I look forward. Hopefully he gets it and we get the you know, driver of the day interview afterwards, because that'll be it'll probably be like the one time that like Kimmy lets loose with emotions and we'll just be like shocked by it. And then he also says, looks like Grosjean has moved to Miami. I hadn't heard that yet. But that's cool. I know he's obviously been spending a ton of time over here. So
I've seen that. I'm also still waiting for Grosjean to get this test in a Mercedes. We're still waiting on that.
True. I forgot about that.
That hasn't happened yet.
It was supposed to be in France, but IndyCar had a couple rescheduling on some of their races and that didn't happen. Or no, F1 got rescheduled. Anyway. So we're still waiting on that.
He's not doing the postseason Abu Dhabi one, obviously. I mean, he might do it in France next year, maybe in this car, but I don't know how relevant that is then.
I know. But yeah, I agree. Kimmy should be driver of the day. And I mean, that's not, unfortunately, it's not going to get that much attention given how much or how big this title battle is going to be. But just the amazing career Kimmy's had, and how long he's kind of been in the sport and all the things he's done. It's kind of definitely the time, but it's still a shame to see him go. So he's had a great career. And this is also the end for his teammate, Giovinazzi. Much shorter career, but good luck in Formula E.
I mean, we haven't talked about it, but the new generation of Formula E coming out, what, next season, I think?
It's Gen 3, I think, is this season, because I thought they were testing. No, maybe it's next year.
Yeah, I think they've got, I believe they have one more year on their package.
But I've seen, like, blotched out renderings of it or something like that.
Yeah,
like
I don't know what the actual car, I mean, I've seen the teasers, but I know it's supposedly like no rear wing and some other, you know, interesting facets of that. But as a guy who likes electric vehicles, from a spec perspective, that thing is going to be a badass vehicle, probably scary fast. So I hope that when they go to that, they put it on actual proper racetracks, and not the bumper car street courses that we've seen so frequently. Because with the amount of power that they're going to have, that could be dangerous, scary to see that kind of power at those tight tracks. So, but yeah, so Giovinazzi might actually have a good time over there because it looks like at least on power, it's going to be a power to weight ratio is going to be insane on that car.
Him and Dan Ticktum. And yeah, that's going to be next year, 2022-23.
Okay. That's an interesting pairing. Well, Dan Ticktum anyway makes it interesting, but
yeah. Although I think he's going to be at Dragon, so good luck back there, Dan. But hopefully he'll get a better seat next year.
Yeah, so we might see some Alfa Romeo donuts hopefully at the end of the race, perhaps. So
yeah,
that'd be cool. I'm all for donuts.
Formation.
Yeah, that's all the questions we had. So thank you everyone for that. We love them, and we'll certainly be bringing them back next season, and well throughout the off season as well. So keep them coming. And we enjoy talking about it.
All right. So we are going to go ahead and drop our green flag. We'll get into our track facts really quick, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll do our final round of the predictions showdown here. Please come back for that. But meanwhile, we've got the Yas Marina Circuit track facts brought to us by Pirelli Motorsport. James, why don't you take us through the Yas Marina Circuit and its new changes?
Yeah, so as you said, we're at the Yas Marina Circuit on Yas Island in Abu Dhabi of the UAE. Number of laps this year has changed because of those changes. It'll be now 58 The track length is 5.281 kilometers or 3.281 miles. Tire selections, we're going soft with the C3, C4, and C5. Track characteristics, we're looking at traction, braking, lateral load, and tire stress, all at 3 out of 5. Asphalt grip, 2 out of 5. Asphalt abrasion and downforce, both at 3 out of 5 as well. So Matt, most wins at this track for drivers, Lewis Hamilton in first place with 5, and Sebastian Vettel in second with 3. Most wins at this track for the constructors, we have Mercedes with 6 and Red Bull with 4. Andy, tell us about the circuit.
Before we do that, I just want to make one comment because we haven't talked about it. It looks like there are some new curbs at Abu Dhabi, and they're very aggressive, kind of Qatar-esque curbs, and we also have the softest tires. So just saying a little prayer that this all doesn't get decided by a puncture.
God, yeah. That would suck to spend 9 months of our lives and see a puncture decide.
And we end up with some dank curb.
Causing, please no.
You know, yep. Massive punctures. I don't know why they put those in. You saw my response in the text where I was like, well, just don't go on them. But and it looked like they were in parts of the track that you wouldn't necessarily be extending for track limits. So it's like on the outside of certain turns, which I didn't necessarily get. But I've also seen a couple of theories that said Pirelli wasn't notified that they were going to bring those here when they made the selection of the C3, C4, and C5 tires. I don't know how true that is or not. So it's another factor.
You were born to be like a race engineer. You know, it's like, just stay off the curbs. No big deal. You know, keep the guy behind you, but keep the guy conserve. Behind
you, but, you know, do it.
Conserve clean. Tires, conserve fuel, but don't let the guy behind you pass you.
I've watched too much of this hybrid era. It's rubbed
You're
off.
You're ruthless, Andy.
It's rubbed off. But anyway, what is the rest of the circuit like? This is a Herman Tilke designed track, and it is dominated by its 1.2 kilometer straight between turns 5 and 6, which with slow speed corners making its beginning and end, makes it a honeypot for overtaking moves. Other highlights include the tricky run down to turns 10, 11, and 12, which forces the drivers to brake hard with bags of lateral load still on the car. Track modifications ahead of the 2021 race, shortening the lap to slightly to 5.28 kilometers, have only added to what they hope is an excitement factor. As far as the weather goes, this is probably one of the most boring weather forecasts that I've gotten this year. So that will probably more than likely not be a huge factor. Qualifying, we'll have sunshine during the day. Obviously, as the sun sets, it'll get cooler, but a high of 78. Winds west out of the northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Only a 3% chance of rain. And for the race, should be partly cloudy skies. Again, a high of 78. Winds out of the northwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. And only a 2% chance of rain. So we are going to take a quick break. We will pay a couple of bills. And we will come back and we will get into the Drivers' Championship is tied. Our Predictions Championship is just as intense, at least amongst 3 out of the 4 of us. John's going to sit there and enjoy and sit back and relax. But come on back. It's going to get exciting.
Attention listeners from across the galaxy, all the way from Australia to Houston, do you have a pube problem? If so, our friends at Manscaped have cleared you for takeoff with their 4th generation and brand new Lawnmower 4.0. Kick your pubes to the next planet with the Performance Package 4.0. The orbits in your pants will feel like they're in zero gravity when you use the best tools for the job from the leaders in male grooming. Join the over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get your rocket ready for takeoff by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code OUTLAP. That's OUTLAP, one word, 20% off free shipping. Let's get back to it.
All right, welcome back to Season 3, Episode 56 of the Outlap F1 Podcast, and you've reached the point of the show where we are doing our final predictions challenge of the season. John, hit that magic button.
That gives me goosebumps. Gets me all amped up.
We are going to, because 3 of us are tied, and to make sure that there is no malfeasance, no possible stewards inquiries, with everything as tight as it is, what we've all done is we've all created our little secret documents like we've done the whole year. We've shipped them over to the championship leader. That would be John.
Leader. No, leader. Well, champion,
maybe elect. No, maybe winner elect. We don't.
I'm not giving predictions. I'm soaking this all in.
I hope that that gambit might just come back to bite you. I think that would be hilarious.
It's fine. I'll price is right the shit out of you guys if you want. So I'm happy to do so to oblige you guys. Let me see who has the best times. All right, hang on. I feel like it was not fair of me to, you know, since I've seen all your times and James already crowned me champion, you know, so.
I swear, you hear and read things that nobody else does.
I think you said it was mathematically possible, but basically impossible. So,
mathematically possible is mathematically possible.
Hey, that's a dude who got 6 points last week. You know, if anybody's going to have, you know, mathematical possibilities.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right.
So. We've all submitted them to John, so he will verify that what we're saying when we read these off is true. So we don't have to necessarily worry about the Price is Right sound tonight, but if it does come out, it means somebody's done something really weird. So anyway, as we are apt to do, we start out with the qualifying fastest driver and the fastest lap time. James, we'll have you kick this one off. What you got?
I'm going to go with Max Verstappen. And the time, a little bit tough with the new track layout. As I was telling Deanna, I Googled it, and the very first article I clicked on told me it was going to be a 10-second difference. I went a little heavy on that because I've been going under and been lucky lately. So I'm going a minute 25.111.
Okay.
So 10 seconds and one-tenth slower than last year.
Or faster.
Quicker.
No, faster. Sorry. Yeah, sorry. Faster.
All right. I will go next. The article that I read said 10 to 15 seconds, which is, I'm assuming. So I'm in the range here. So my fastest quality time, I believe that will be set by one Lewis Hamilton. So different there. Mm-hmm, and I have a lap time of 122.584.
Ooh.
Ooh. Deanna. I think that made her cringe a little bit.
You're going to love this.
So the article that I read was right. The article I read said 14 seconds. So that's about what I did. And I went with a 122 flat. And that I also said was Lewis Hamilton.
No, that's not so bad. That's not so bad.
There's a half second there.
There's a half second.
A leeway.
All right. So moving on to our race prediction and the race podium.
Did I have to give a time, Andy, or did you guys crown me?
That's entirely your decision. Up to you. If you're that confident, go for it.
Well, I mean, I also
you
ran
have to
14.
Come out of the pits to, you know, be scored. So if you're going to do that, then you got to be in the game.
I also
the
ran
way.
14 seconds. So
honestly, just roll with the confidence and just don't do anything.
What?
Just don't put any predictions in. You're that confident. Let it happen.
I
see what happens.
I assume that things like that are going to come out James's mouth, but I had, you know, I thought better of you, Deanna.
It's the bourbon.
No.
That's true. She has been drinking tonight, so. So Andy, you were 125 or 122.5, right?
122.584.
And Deanna's 122 flat.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Right? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. So I'll go with a 122.01. I like my 4/10 between you guys, 5/10 between you guys. So
what is the point of this?
I tried to warn you.
I told you not to make them. You were not going to make them beforehand.
I said we just crown me champion and we'll call it a night. So. Yeah, I like it more fun when I get to talk shit about you guys, so I enjoy that better. Andy, move it on.
All right, so our race podium. Deanna, we'll start with you for this one. We can't price rate each other on the names, so this is relatively safe.
It's a safe zone.
Okay. So
this is also who do you think is going to win the championship by default.
I know.
That's true.
I know, which is like very, very difficult, and really if I didn't have to make a decision, I wouldn't. But I'm going with Verstappen winning all of it.
Well, 50%.
Hamilton second.
50% of the relapsed audience thinks that you love Verstappen, and 50% think that you hate Verstappen. So
it's mostly around Hamilton. I have on the same video been told that I'm like love and obsessed with Hamilton, and that I also hate Hamilton and never want to see him win on the same video. So
if
and
that
I've
doesn't
got a
describe the status of F1 Twitter or Reddit, I don't know what does.
My comment section is an interesting place. Anywho, my podium: Verstappen wins, Hamilton second, Bottas third. So Mercedes wins constructors in my little world here.
Very nice.
All right, I'll go next. I've been the one saying bet against Lewis Hamilton at your peril. I'm not going to get off that train until he's Alabama, until somebody comes and takes it. Even number one, Georgia. Nice try. That didn't work. Glad I didn't bet that one. So Lewis Hamilton, P1, Max Verstappen, P2, Valtteri Bottas being in his last drive for Mercedes, I think does take the podium in P3. James, what's your thought?
I'm with Deanna on this one. Max Verstappen is going to be world champion. Lewis Hamilton in second. Sergio Checo Perez in third to round out the podium. I was kind of leaning towards Bottas, but I figured both of you guys were going to go Bottas, so I wanted to have an opportunity for a point there.
That's what I did last week, and it bit me in the ass. Yeah.
It usually doesn't work, but I was like, make things interesting. But yeah, I think Max is going to pull it out. John, do you think the fans are as confused about me and my love of Lewis Hamilton? Do you think they're 50-50 on whether I like him or not?
Yeah, I mean, that's sealed. You know, there's no question about that. James actually has like a giant 44 tattoo across his chest that you guys have never seen before. So just, you know, next time he goes to the beach, check out his Instagram. I won't tell you on the back because it's a whole other mess, but
all right. That's just Leclerc's face.
David, Danny, you're not supposed to tell him.
2022 world champion.
Yeah. He's already got it tattooed in. Have you guys seen the guy on yes. Twitter or whatever? Yes. With the
yeah,
that was an early prediction too. Like it was like what?
I think that was around the kind of. I might be wrong with this, but it feels like it was about the Austria time when at this point it felt like all hope was lost, like that, like we were going full Red Bull to the end of the season, but
that did not happen.
But there was a few times where it felt like Red Bull was fully in the driver's seat. So do I think that tattoo was a good idea? No, but I could see where he was kind of coming from at that point. So good luck to that man.
That is never a good idea for any sport.
No, I'm a firm believer in the jinxed. You know, there's no way in hell I would do it. It looks like a nice tattoo. But yeah, it's bold to get a tattoo like that, you know, period, but you know, whatever, that's all, you know, to each their own. But then to share it with the entire world, that was probably the bolder of the two. I feel
well,
like
he probably thought is like, you know, 35 followers at the time was going to do it. Now it's all over the place.
Maybe John, maybe our Leclerc Vettel bet next year will be tattoos.
Oh God. Oh, good. Well, I'm going to get 2021 co-host prediction champion going ahead. It can go underneath that.
Hey, so. They're new cars, James. I've been saying, you know, don't snooze on those Aston Martins. Cause you know, old man Stroll might have something interesting cooked up next year.
All right, I guess I'm getting my bourbon from Andy next year.
Normal Stroll.
Well, based on the craziness that I heard pre-episode, someone in this show is definitely disagreeing with you, Andy. So we'll just leave it at that. I don't want
John,
to alert.
John, if you get your tattoo with a tramp stamp, I'll pay for it.
Oh, thanks. It might be cheaper than a bottle of bourbon.
Depending on where you
go.
Yeah,
I'd take a tattoo parlor, too.
Oh, God. Great.
You're going to the backwoods.
If it's not done in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, it's not worth doing. So I'm just, you know. Those of you in the southern USA will know exactly what I mean by that. So,
well aware.
Deanna, you're a North Catholic, again, like I am. So you get the reference there. Yeah. But, all right, Andy. So
all
who's
right.
next?
So we our next category is the fastest lap. Well,
and John's going to tell us who he thinks is going to win.
Oh, yeah, I got at least.
Because we're all like on the edges of our seat wondering who we could possibly pick.
I'm going with a Lance Stroll P1. yeah, no, I hopefully it's helped me in the past. I've ride and died with Andy and his predictions. So I'm hoping this is a good mojo for the universe, Andy. So I'm going.
And how'd you end up ahead of Andy?
I haven't done it, not the whole season, no, but there's been a few times right where
my lap times,
you know, where, you know, I've
that price
is right. You know, it's a great game. So, yeah, I'm going to go with hopefully an 8-time world champion, Sir Lewis Hamilton. Yeah, probably a max in a boat task following that out, assuming that they both finish. That is so.
All right. So now to the other one with the lap times, where this could be interesting: fastest lap and the driver. And this that could also be deciding here.
You guys are all over the map, so there's probably
then we'll have some difference. James, what you got for fastest lap?
Actually, I take that back. There's one's relatively close, but should be good.
For right, for fastest lap, I got Max Verstappen there as well. I've got this one at a minute 29.111. Which sounds like I'm gonna be slow one again.
I am going to go with Valtteri Bottas to take the fastest lap. Because last race for Mercedes, stick a set of softs on, go have him go get it, because it's not going to be relevant anyway. And my lap time will be 126.897.
Just for reference, last year's fastest lap was a
139.140.
Yeah, 0.926.
I think the record's 139, though, right?
Yeah, I don't think last year was the track record.
Yeah, I think it was the year before. It was 139, something.
Yeah. So, Deanna, what you got for fastest driver and the lap time?
Okay, I'm going very aggressive with my lap times, and it's going to be a 126 flat, and I'm going with a Lewis Hamilton trying to chase down Max Verstappen at the end there with the fastest lap.
Will his wing be fully intact?
14 seconds.
No, because that's how he goes fastest, apparently.
I still want to know how Mercedes are like, he lost 0.4 a lap after that, but then he was like purple.
I don't know how he had like 4 bits of contact basically throughout that race, and that wing was just like one little implate flying off and still setting fastest laps. And
that'll be the next thing that Karen Horner protests about, the integrity of that wing.
Unreal.
Can't wait for the FIU message for that one, too.
German engineering right there. Into that one.
Who needs aerodynamics when you can just knock the end plate off something and go faster? So shouldn't have put it there in the first place, right?
All right. So our bonus picks, and John has selected, as I think we all tied other than James with 4 points. So I think John took the liberty of putting in what the bonus picks were for this week. P9, P10, and P11. Deanna, we'll start with you this time. What do you have for our bonus picks?
So in P9, I have Alonso, P10, Vettel, and P11, Ocon.
All right.
What was your first one, Deanna? I missed it.
Alonso.
This could be where this, you know, P2 could be where it's decided. Right,
yeah. I'm going to go with P9 being Daniel Ricciardo, P10 being Yuki Tsunoda, and P11, Sebastian Vettel.
All right.
So, James, what's your thoughts?
I'm at P9, Yuki Tsunoda. P10, scoring his last point ever, Formula One, Kimi Räikkönen. And P11, I'm with you on said battle.
All right.
I like it.
So, our prop bet this week, I think we all probably know what this is going to be, unless somebody wants to make a dramatic last-second change. But it was, do both in Lewis and Max finished? And I think based on our podiums...
No, we changed it up, Andy.
Probably yes. I'm going with yes.
I think we all are.
Anybody else got anything different?
Yeah.
We're all going with yes. So that's why we came up with the slowest pit stop.
Other one, which is
Andy, the Andy's tiebreaker only.
Yeah. Yeah. So in the rare event that you guys somehow, at least two of you, finish tied after the end of this thing, which would be pretty damn cool to see. Yeah, the prop bet for this week is who has the slowest pit stop, or sorry, what is the slowest pit stop of the race? So there's a wide range of thoughts and theories here. So Deanna, take it away.
My slowest pit stop, I'm saying, is going to be 7 seconds long.
So it's seven.
She's rolling with the even numbers there.
Seven. That's... Yeah. I didn't do math, so no decimals.
7 seconds. Andy,
what you got? I've got my slowest one here because there's usually not a ton of drama. 5.4 seconds.
Very nice. And James?
I'm hoping for a wing change and not a very fast one. I've got 12.123.
That's like Mercedes Germany tied right there. Yeah.
Lewis is going to pit with the lead, and then Mercedes is going to fuck up his pit stop. And Max Verstappen is going to win the world championship.
I could also see that as being a plausible actual.
I thought about what way he could lose that would hurt you the most, John, and that's what I came up with. So that's what I'm rooting for.
I mean, pretty much for the last 3 months, every time he pits, I just basically look away from the TV and just pray. Unfortunately, that's what I did the last time the Bears kicked a field goal in the playoffs for the double doink, so that didn't turn out well for me either.
Well, we could have an Italian Grand Prix situation where Max has around a 7 second pit stop and then comes out where Lewis is, and then they, you know,
why'd you
the
even
rest
have
is history.
Why'd you even have to put it out in the universe?
You know, you know, for the fun of it.
Or it could be one of those, you know, Monaco-esque pit stops that keep going, you know, that are infinite.
The never-ending pit stop.
Ship it back to the UK and call it a night.
Right. I think that was 2 days and plus something on the pit and the official clock. But all right. So I think that's pretty much it. Session times. This is actually kind of important because it's an hour earlier than our normal European times. Practice 1 kicks off 4:30 a.m. Eastern. Practice 2 kicks off at 8 a.m. Eastern for Friday running. Practice 3 then kicks off 4 a.m. Eastern again. Qualifying and the race will both be at 8 a.m. Eastern, so it's an hour earlier than you're used to. So it's going to be dark here when I wake up to for Have Lights Out. So any other final thoughts?
I got one, Andy. Forgot to mention earlier. So, yeah, Lewis Hamilton obviously has a chance to become an 8-time world champion, the first one in Formula 1 history. But Max Verstappen actually has a chance to make some history, too, by having the most podiums in a single season with 18. He's tied right now at 17. So a little more history we could see. And then something else I meant to send you guys earlier, and I don't think I remembered to send it to you. Now I can't find it, but it showed the percentage of laps finished by driver. And actually the number one for the season right now is Carlos Sainz with, like, 98-point-something% finish. I thought that was pretty interesting to see there. And the least amount of laps completed. Does anybody want to take a guess?
Oh, it's got to be massive.
Yeah. Yep. That was a layup.
Like if it's not, I haven't been watching something, right?
Yeah. I thought there was going to be like a twist there somehow. Like, you know, I don't know. I thought maybe you'd say Lance Schumacher Stroll. Or something. Oh, well, yeah, Lance Stroll. Of course.
Lance also tied for the least amount of fastest laps on the season.
All right, we got to play this at least one time now. Something strange in your neighborhood.
Who you gonna call? Lance Stroll. Classic.
We're going to be in season 10 of this podcast, and I'm still going to be hearing that song. That one's going to live on forever. So.
These are things
that
don't
forget. It's in our ether of podcast history.
It has been added to the soundboard, and therefore it will never be removed.
All right. Well, we hope you all enjoy the race on Sunday. We will be back to recap it all Sunday evening. We will finally have the special guest, Vincent Landino, will be joining us for our title decider extravaganza. So please tune in early Monday morning when we get it all posted. For James, for John, for Deanna, it's been Andy. And as always, may all your laps be fast.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Outlap F1 Podcast. If you like what you heard, click that subscribe button and be sure to leave us a 5-star review. If you want to connect with us outside of the show, check out our website at www.outlapf1.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at Outlap F1 Podcast.
or email us at chatnow@outlapf1.com. As always, thank you so much for your support, and we'll see you on the next one.